an honor. I am here with my entire family. So my family is not so big, so I could manage to take everybody with me this morning. Two sons and one wife. Thank you, sister. God is good, and all the time, God is good. It is always good to be in the house of God, to give Him honor and glory. And I do bring you greetings from the congregation at Mona, where I serve. I'm going to sing another verse of that same song, Brother Myrie just sung. Everybody ought to know, everybody ought to know, oh, everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Everybody ought to know, yeah, everybody ought to know. Oh, everybody ought to know who Jesus is. And when is the lily of the valley, I know that He is the bright and morning. He's the morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. And everybody ought to know. Amen. It is the Apostle Paul who says in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greeks." In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 18, he again says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Verse number 20 through to verse number 25 of that same text, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, has much for us to desire. I'll get back there at an appropriate time. Over the centuries, God's wisdom has outdone all generations, even though it may seem or resembles foolishness. I repeat, over the centuries, God's wisdom has outdone all generations, even though it may seem to some as foolishness. In Jeremiah chapter 35, the text that our brother read earlier is where we'll pitch our tent today. In Jeremiah 35, God used an apparent foolishness to declare wisdom at its best to His own people, Israel, wayward and backsliding, disobedient set of people. But God used an apparent foolishness to open their eyes. In Jeremiah chapter 35 from verse 1, the Bible reads, "The word of the Lord, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, Go to the house of the Rechabites, speak to them and bring them into the house of the Lord." It says, "Into one of the chambers and give them wine to drink." Then I took Jezaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habaziniah, his brothers and all his sons, and the whole house of Rechabites, and I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, above the chamber of Masiah, the son of Shalom, the keeper of the door. Verse number 5 says, "Then
I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites bowls of wine, full of wine, and cups, and I said to them, drink wine. Listen to verse number 6. But they said to me, we will drink no wine, for Jonadab the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, you shall drink no wine, you nor your sons forever. I'll be reading the rest of the text, but for now, let's just stay at forever. Here, the man of God, Jeremiah, was sent with a message from God to a people that God knew would obey him. A people that God knew would have been obedient all the days of their lives. And they were not the people of God. But God used them as an example for his own people. And so this morning, I want to be speaking to us on a subject, the refusal of a royal reception. I repeat, the refusal of a royal reception. Here, Brother Myrie, you got a messenger of God coming to you directly from Almighty God with a message from God, coming to give you an instruction. God says I should invite you into the temple of God to pour out wine before you, to give you cups and bowls so that you can drink and have your filling. But here is a people who stood their ground and say, even though the messenger is from God, even though the word is of God, we will not do it. And this is something we need to take note of. Don't get me wrong. We are not talking about disobeying God, but we are talking about principles that please or displease Almighty God. And here is a principle that the people, the Rechabites, set that they would not broke that principle for anyone. They would not please even the man of God based on what they held on to. You see, Jeremiah went to them just to use them as an example. That was God's main mission, to use the Rechabites as an example. But how many of us, church, would love an opportunity where we could step outside of our zone, our comfort zone, and we could step into the arena where the things that we love most would be there to entice us? The things that we love most was spread before us, and we could have our filling. And because it is a particular person who gave us the instruction, we would just agree that yes, it is the right thing to do. It is the right thing to do, and so we are going to take advantage of this moment. We're going to use this moment to our glory. We're going to do the things that we love to do and the things that we long for doing. And we're just going to have a good time. But here were a set of people, the Rechabites. As a matter of fact, if you read the text, the Rechabites were not God's people. The Rechabites became aligned with Israel because Moses married a woman from their nation. And that is how their name was called before God, because of Moses' wife. And so they were not God's people. Israel was God's people. But here the Rechabites, they had a tradition. They had a practice. They had a way of life that they would cling to their forefathers' words, and they would not sway because of somebody else. They were just willing to hold on to their tradition. And let me tell you something, church. God is willing to work with anyone. It doesn't matter Jew or Gentile, bond or free, Greek or barbarian, whoever you are, as long as the thing that you are doing is right, God will accept it. As long as it is right, God will hold you to it. As long as it is right, God will exalt you on behalf of that thing that you did. And so we have the Rechabites. A set of people, they had no place to call their own. The Bible says they lived in tents. And you know why they lived in tents? Because their father would have commanded them, Jonadab, would have commanded them saying, do not build houses, but live in tents. Do not plant vineyards, but just eat as you go along. Whatever you see on the land, you pick and you go through. Do not settle down. Do not become permanent in any place. But then, what would we say today? You know Jonadab never have no ambition. You know Jonadab never mean him family no good. You know Jonadab never want him people them to have anything in life. Isn't that the criticism that we would lay today? Any parent would want the best for their children and their generation to come. It's not that Jonadab didn't want what was good for his children and generations to come. As a matter of fact, he wanted what was best for them. And so he instructed them, based on his knowledge, that the area which we're living in is a war zone. At any time, our modern day saying, a missile can drop, a bomb can drop, you will all have to uproot and leave town. That was the idea in Jonadab's mind. And so he said to his children, do not build permanent houses. Do not lay hold on anything on this land that when war comes, you're going to what? Hold on to it. Set yourselves in such a way that you can pull up 10 pegs and you can move at the clock. And so his children would have obeyed that. The Bible says, Exodus chapter 20, I think it's verse 4, that children should what? Obey their parents in the Lord, and that their days would be long. Well, not only would the Rechabites have obeyed their parents, but they were not have long days and permanence, not only in their place, but in the eyes of Almighty God. What is our subject? The refusal of a royal reception. No, wine has always been a good thing. But the Bible also speaks that wine can become a what? A mocker. And so you should not be drinking so much wine. That was not the case with the Rechabites. But I believe also their father wanted them to always be conscious. Never to be caught in a bar, sitting and drinking and not knowing what is happening around them. So he said, do not give yourself unto wine. And here comes Jeremiah from Almighty God, going to the Rechabites and saying to them, here is wine. He obeyed the voice of God. He went to their houses and he called them by numbers. He called them by names and he brought them to the temple of God. And he put before them, the Bible says, bowls of wine. And he gave them containers, each to his own, and he said to them, drink. Drink wine. Let me tell you something, church. Sometimes you want to do something, but you're afraid, eh? You may be afraid, you may be a little bit apprehensive. But let me say, Brother Mitchell invite Brother Myrie, Brother Roden, Brother Blake, Brother Fabian, into the vestry. And they're having a men's talk, a leadership talk. But Brother Mitchell just said to these brothers, hey brothers, we're not having church. But for the sake of our meeting, let's just have something stronger than the communion wine. Let us just have a bottle of Red Label. Let us just have a bottle of Stone's ginger wine. Let us just have a bottle of squash or something to that nature. And these brothers are the leading men in the congregation. Who are they listening to? They are listening to the ultimate leader of the congregation. Don't lose me. They are listening to the leader of the congregation. But for some strange reason, these brothers look at one another. Fabian look at Brother Blake. Brother Blake look across to Brother Roden. Brother Roden look across to Brother Myrie. And they all with that eye signal, they said, hey, this no sound right. This no sound right at all. I wonder what Brother Mitchell is up to. Huh? But isn't he the leader? Isn't he the leader? Yes. But these men, they know that the fact that he said, let us have strong drink in the house of God, then something sounds contrary. And they decide within themselves. They did not even say a word across. They just used some eye contact. And they give a head shake and they said, we ain't going there. And they all in one accord said, Brother Mitchell, I think you need to rethink what you just said. Would they be disobeying him? Would they be disobeying? Yes, they would be disobeying. Because he would have said, let us have wine. He would have been their leader. But they knew the thing which he was saying was not right. And so they decide, we will not have wine. Brethren and friends, how many times has God brought us to that place? Or we have led ourselves to that place where God is waiting on us to say no. But because of the thing that presents itself, all we can say is yes. Would we have disappointed Almighty God? Yes, we would have. Do you remember Job? Where was Job when God had a discussion about him? Job was about his business, tending to his business, and then God and the devil had a discussion about Job. And what was God's intention when he sent the devil to go and test Job? God's intention was just to prove to the devil that Job is a man of God and Job will stand up even in times of tests and trials. How many times God is waiting on us to come through? How many times? And sometimes we allow the people who says things to us to have or get the better of us because of who they are. You see, the sons of Jonadab, they did not say because it is Jeremiah. They did not say because it is the man of God we would yield. They hold on to their what? Their principle of their forefathers. And God knew that they would do it. God didn't think that they would disobey the man of God. That's not the subject. God knew that they would have been obedient to their fathers. And so even though the table was spread, even though the place was right, even though the moment was right, these men held on to their principles. The question for us as Christians, what principles do we hold on to? Are you, as the woman of God or the man of God, holding on to principles which God is looking down on you and me, on us, and saying, there goes my child. I know this one would come through. I know this one would not yield. Or is God being disappointed every time that the tests come to us? Are we disappointing Almighty God? Now, church, I want you to know that sometimes we allow our immediate situation to get the better of us. Amen? Sometimes we allow the immediate need that we have to get the better of us. And we see that happen from time to time. There goes a young lady. She's working for a particular firm. And she is just the bookkeeper. She is just the records keeper. She is just the one who tidies the boss's desk. And the boss knew that. That's her level of service. But the boss wanted to have his way with her. And so one evening while she was there tidying up the office, he walks across to her and he touched her on the shoulder and he says to her, whatever your name is, you know you can be promoted by morning. You know you can get the desk out front. You know you don't have to serve behind the scenes. So guess what? Here is a deal. And here is this young lady. She considers. She says, well, I have 3 children. I need more money. She says, well, I have some bills because courts is about to come and take my bed. She says, well, I have some outstanding balances. Well, I have the rent to pay. And you know I could very well do with this promotion. And you know the rest of the story. She go yielding to the passes of this man. When, first and foremost, she should be considering that she is, first of all, a Christian, a child of God, somebody who is waiting for God to make the move for her, not her boss. Somebody who is waiting for God to hold her in that position so that she can wait on Him some more, so that she can have a testimony of her own. But here she goes, yielding to the advances of this man. Do you know how disappointed God is on that situation? Likewise, there goes a young man. He's in a particular situation. He's in a family that nobody knows. He's in a family that all are uneducated. He is in a situation where he knows that just one move can get him the millions that he desires. And so there goes a man who comes by him and says, hey, I have a job for you. Here is a gun. I have a name for you. Here is an address for you. Just do this one job and you can get whatsoever you want in life. Here goes a Christian young man. But because of his situation, he says, you know what? I've been waiting on God. I've been serving the Lord 5 years, and I'm yet to move from the state that I'm in. I've been serving the Lord 5 years, but I'm still having struggles. And so he yielded the voice of this gun. And he took the gun. He looked at it. He shines it off. He took it away in his pocket and he walked away knowing that he's going to be this much richer on the morning. And there he goes, yielding on this one instruction. Who is he? First of all, he's a Christian. And we all need to remember that as long as we are Christians, even though our lives may be hard, even though our journeys may be difficult, God is still waiting on us to come through for Him. Because God knows that He is the one who will open our doors and close the doors at His leisure. And if we just wait on Him, church, if we just depend on Him, if we just trust Him, if we are just willing to suffer that little hardship some more, God will come through for us. And guess what? We're going to have our testimony at the end of the day. Here goes the royal reception. A table spread. Wine is ready. But yet, the Rechabites decided, we are disobeying the man of God. We are disobeying the command from the man of God. We are not going to yield because our father said we should not go down this road. How many of us, we just want to get to the next level. We just want to get there so fast. We just want to get out of our situation. Here is a sick person. You know you have your complaint. You know it's a life-threatening illness that you have. You know it's a terminal illness. And you've been praying every day. Your name is on the notice board. Every day the church is praying for you. But here comes your neighbor and say, you know something looks fishy. I think you better check this thing out. And check it out seriously. I don't think you should have that foot there so long. I don't think that belly should have hurt you so long. I don't think your hair should have taken so long to grow back. I think somebody is behind this. You know what? Come at me carry your go down so tomorrow morning. Who are you serving? Who are you serving? Are you going to be faithful to your neighbor's offer? Or are you going to hold on and God to deliver you? And like the Hebrew boys, even if He does not deliver, we will not yield to your entice. How many times we find ourselves, church, in such situations? Have we ever asked the question, is God looking down on me? Am I the one that God is using for the example to go through this test? Or we just look and say, boy, this need is so immediate. I have to gratify this situation right now. So let me not listen to the voice of God, but let me listen to the person who is speaking to me right now. Brethren and friends, I want to say something to you. That you do not have to yield to the entice of this royal, 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 royal reception. You can decide not to yield, and God is waiting on you not to yield. I want you to go to verse number 7. Well, let me read verse 6 again. But they said, after the wine was placed before them, Jeremiah chapter 35, verse 6, they said, we will drink no wine. How many of us would say we will drink as much as we can? Because when we leave here, nobody will know about it. Let's drink it up right here. Because when we leave here, it is only going to be us and the man of God. And you know what? The man of God knows how to keep his mouth. Well, my friends know how to keep their mouths. Well, before long, that story becomes a story. It becomes a headline. And you are left where? To bear the shame of that very situation. They said, we will not drink, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, you shall drink no wine, nor your sons forever, 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 ever. Amen. They remembered that. And nobody could have enticed them enough for them to yield to such an enticing. Verse number 7, church. Verse number 7. The drinking of wine was not only what their father commanded them not to do. The drinking of wine was one such thing. But look at the rest. You shall not build houses. Come on now. Only what these people now are not out of this life. Huh? There's an advertisement that says the greatest investment that some people would have ever made is that of owning a home. Come on. Not to mention, Sister Cheryl, when you have a family, you don't want to know that you are going through this life and there's no place, Brother Myrie, to call your own. The first thing we want to know, we have a little tattoo over our head. Yes, me know them talking that to our country we come from, and I can't stay there. We want to have a little tattoo over our head. We want to be able to shelter the wife and the children. You know, when I was about to get married, when I was thinking about getting married, and I said to my father, Daddy, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get married now. My father was never ever happy with this statement. And I will tell you why. And I had to explain it to my wife all the time for her to get the picture. It's not that my father didn't want me to get married. But you know what he says? I have suffered long and hard trying to take care of all 7 children. And I didn't get to own a home until when everybody grew big. Imagine that. 7 pygmy are raised without a tattoo for yourself. My father looked at that as a living example. And he says, son, I'm not against you getting married. But get the house first. Get the house first. Because when all is said and done, you can shelter your family. You can hide them from the rain and the sun and the storms when they come. And I looked at it and I said, Daddy, I believe what you said. I know what you said is wisdom. But can I tell you that in this day and age, we have to do it differently? We have to use one with the other one and put the 2 cents together so that we can get 3 cents. Because if I should wait your way to build a house, I may wait the same time as you have waited. And maybe in this day and age, never own one. So I said, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to get married. And then we're going to build together. That's my wisdom. Or that's modern wisdom. I don't know if my father has overcome what he says unto this day. Because he believed that is the step. Look at the sons of Jonadab. You shall not build houses. You shall live in tents. You shall not sow seed. You shall not plant vineyard, nor have any of these. Listen, this man Jonadab was speaking from wisdom. It's not that he was a worthless man. And it's not that he didn't want his children to come and have life and have it more abundantly. But he knew, as I said before, a bomb could drop at any time. The armies could have invaded, and he did not want his children to be struggling behind or staying, holding on to permanence that would lead to their death. He wanted them to be able to pull up and move out. Let me touch down a little bit. How much time have Brother Mary? Brother Mary said, preach, so just hold on. Sometimes, church, even on squatters' land, we go building concrete houses. You hear me? Even on squatters' territory, it's not ours, it's not our friend owned. We not even know the owner. The land has been there, and the owner paying him taxes, you know. It's just that him not occupy that piece of land. And people run in and take over the place. And before long, you think it's a housing complex. They build it out with what? Concrete houses. Or they build a concrete jungle. But before long, guess what happened? Normally, a little feud here, and a little feud there, and a little gang here, and a little rivalry there. And before long, what? Everybody running around like ants. And then some people has become so what? They are so attached to their dwelling. They are so attached to their last dollar that they work and spend putting up that last block. That even though war is raging, they are not going to give up because they are sentimentally attached. We do that with our cars. We do that with our homes. We do that with our communities. How many of us are willing to just pack up and leave this community? No, man, me know all the neighbors them. If me go somewhere else, me go start over again. No, we don't do those things. We have sentimental values and attachment. But this is what Jonadab was afraid of. This is what he was afraid of. He wanted his people to be able to what? To move on alert. He wanted them to be conscious. And so God just look at the example of Jonadab. God just look at that example. And he said, you know what? Look at this man. Look at his generation. Look how obedient they are to their forefathers. And look at my people Israel. Let's get the text. Let us read the text. Let us read the text, church. I'm going to go back to verse number 8. But let us read verse number 11. Do I have a reader? Brother Fabian? Verse number 11.
But it came to pass.
But it came to pass.
When Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up into the land.
Yes, sir.
That we said, come and let us go to Jerusalem for fear of the army of the Chaldeans and for fear of the army of the Syrians.
Yes.
So we dwelled at Jerusalem.
Did I make my point? Did I make my point? Jonadab wanted them to be able to pull tent peg. Jonadab knew, and look at the army that was coming. The great Nebuchadnezzar. A man who is going to take all and kill what he does not want in his camp. The great warhead was going to launch and see what happened. They could have moved at once. Verse number 12. Then came
the word of the Lord.
Yes.
Unto Jeremiah.
Example. Then came the example. What is the example, Brother Fabian?
Thus saith the Lord of hosts.
Thus says the Lord of hosts.
The God of Israel.
Come on.
Go and tell the men of Judah.
Yes.
And the inhabitants of Jerusalem.
Yes.
Will ye not receive instruction to hearken to my word?
Come on now. Hold on, Brother Fabian. Israel, I'm talking to you. Judah, I'm talking to you. The nation of God, I'm talking to you. What is he saying to them?
Will you not receive instruction?
Come on now, hold on. Simple instruction. Brother Myrie, get up. Sister Tyrell, get up. Me call the people them whom I know by name. Sister Cheryl, get up. No, get up now. Get up and turn up now, man. Brother Fabian, get up. So you think I get ready? Brother Blake, get up. March out for me, please. Down the aisles. Down the aisles. Middle aisle. Center aisle, Brother Myrie. You need to come back this way. And you need to walk center aisle, Brother Myrie. All the way, Sister Cheryl. Stand underneath that clock. And it's five of you. I want you all to look and see what is happening on the clock. So give yourself space to look up on the clock. Give yourself time to read the clock. What time is it? Brother Fabian, you utter that time for me. 5 to 12. Keep looking on that clock because I'm going to preach until I tell you, Sister Cheryl, where are you going? Will you not hearken to my voice? I have commanded you. No, church, if you don't ever see them, take them eye off of the clock. No. The rest of you, let them stay there. I've given them instruction. The rest of you pay attention to me. Is that not a simple instruction? I could give that instruction to my 2 3/4-year-old son. Because he knows what a clock is. I could tell him, MJ, go and look at that clock for me. He doesn't know the time, but he could have come back and said to me, Daddy, I see the clock. The clock is on the wall. See the clock there, Daddy. Where's the clock, MJ? See the clock there, Daddy. Simple instruction. No, Brother Fabian, Brother Myrie, Sister Cheryl, Sister Tyrell, Brother Blake, you may stop looking at the clock. What are people them obedient? I was waiting for them to walk. To turn them back down there. You may come this way. No, church. That's the line of Brother Michelle. No. When God gave instructions, what is it that God is waiting for? God is waiting for a response to his instructions. Brother Fabian, what did God say to them? Verse number 12, verse number 13. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive what?
Instruction.
My words, man. Church. All God wants us to do, Brother Myrie from your Bible class, is obey him to the fullest. God wants us to obey, not part way, but to the fullest way. God wants us to obey his instructions. And God will not take part obedience. God will only settle for full obedience. Now you know them people, them come back. Me tell them, please sit, you know, can help me. Me to tell them to sit down. When you can help me, just help me to remember. Because if me never tell them to sit down, this is a living example. No. God said to them, "Oh, how is it that you're not following my instructions? I'm getting down, church. I'm just going to read through and I'm going to wrap up. R&R, read through and wrap up. Brother Fabian, help me. Verse number 14.
The word of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine,
yes,
are performed. For unto this day they drink none, to obey their father's commandments. Notwithstanding,
yes,
I have spoken unto you,
yes,
rising early and speaking."
Hold on. God is frustrated with disobedience. God is frustrated with backsliding Israel and Judah. God is saying to them, the words of a man, not the words of God. The words of a man held steadfast through his generation. They have kept his words until this day. And what? What about you, Israel? But although I have spoken to you, rising when? Early in the morning, you did not obey me. I have also sent to you my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying what, brother Fabian?
Return ye now every man,
church,
from his evil way.
Come on, church.
And amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them. And ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers, but ye have not inclined your ear, nor hearkened unto me.
Look here now, what and too long? What and too long? Serve two master, or serve another man. What and too long serve another? Here God is waiting for them, just to be obedient to him, because he's going to give them something that he has in store for them. Now look what is going to happen here, church. Brother Fabian, just read down the rest of the text.
Because the sons of Jonadab,
yes,
and the son of Rechab,
yes,
have performed the commandments of their father,
yes,
which he commanded them, but this people hath not hearkened unto me.
Come on now.
Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts and the God of Israel, behold,
yes,
I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem
judgment,
all the evils that I have pronounced against them.
Come on.
Because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard.
Yes.
And I have called unto them, but they have not answered.
Stop right there. I'm going to take verse number 8 through 10 with verse number 18 and 19. But listen up before we wrap up, church. Listen as we wrap up this lesson. The lesson is the refusal of a royal reception. Many of us are desiring to have that serving on a platter. Did I hear an amen? Well, Christian or no Christian, we wish for the day when we could just have things going easy. We wish for the day when life could become a little better for us. We wish for the day when we did not have to work 8 and 12 and 14 hours, but we could still receive our paycheck. I did not say work none at all, you know. I said we didn't have to work so long and so hard for the money that we are working for. We wish things could have become a little easier. Look at Israel before God. All that God was waiting for is Israel to what? Obey. And things would have been better for them. No, what they should have gotten is what Jonadab's sons are going to get. Because they fail to obey the voice of God. What are the lessons that we should learn from this? One, do not be respecter of persons. Amen. Do not be respecter of persons. If they were respecter of persons, as long as they saw the collar on that man of God, they would have said, hey, here's a way we can go. We are going to disobey our father, and we are going to follow after this instruction. Listen, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying be disobedient to God's servant. I am saying there's a lesson for us to learn. And the lesson is that they were doing something that was already right. They were doing something that was already pleasing in the sight of God. They were being obedient. And that is the lesson that God have here. So, we should not be respecter of persons. Because becoming respecter of persons, we will change from our natural path. We will change from even our spiritual path. Because we obey those who speak to us because of who they are. Secondly, do not be gullible. Do not be gullible. Because if you are gullible, trust me, you're going to go down the wrong path. Even from the man of God giving an instruction, that is not thus says the Lord, you're going to take it. We should not be people who are too gullible. Do not allow your lack to cause you to compromise. Come on. Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, because He is going to renew your strength. He's going to renew. He's going to refresh. He's going to revive even the things which are lacking. He's going to supply them in your life. Another lesson here. Obedience is still better than sacrifice. Obedience is still better than sacrifice. And this is what the Rechabites did. They were willing to obey their fathers. They were willing to stick to that which they knew was right, because it was already in the law of God to obey your parents. And so did it in the things that are right. They were not going to compromise that. Another lesson here is for us. God is looking to use you. Yes, you. God is looking to use you as a good example. Yeah? He is waiting to use you just like He did with Job. As a good example. Somebody who He knew will not turn to the left or to the right, but just be obedient to the voice of Almighty God. Now the rest of the text, Brother Fabian, I will read. The Bible says, after the plate was put before them, after the wine was served to them, and they said they would not drink, they would not plant vineyard, they would not do all these things because their fathers would have commanded them. Verse number 8 says, thus we have what? Obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he charges us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, our daughters, nor build houses for ourselves to dwell in, nor to have vineyards or field or seed. Verse number 10 says, but we have dwelt in tents and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. Do you see that? They to the end were confessing to the man of God, we are not being disobedient to you, but we are obeying our Father. We are obeying the voice of our Father because He has set a standard which is a good standard. You don't need to change it. If it is right, maintain right. If it is good, maintain good. If it is obedient in the way of the Lord, maintain that. Don't change it because somebody of the cloth or somebody of status come to you and say, I believe you should have done this. I believe you need to do this. I believe we can be better here if you do this. No, I don't want to be better with you. I want to be better with Almighty God. Hold on to your principles. Hold on to your faithfulness. Do not sway because of man. Hold on to what God says. Now verse number 18 of the text. And Jeremiah said to the house of the Rechabites. And Jeremiah says to the house of the Rechabites, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. What the word because mean? Anybody can just shout it out for me. What the word because mean? Huh? For this reason. For this reason, church. The Rechabites are going to get something that the Israelites should have gotten. Look at it. For this reason, what is your reason? For obeying the voice of your fathers even until this day. For being such a great example before my own people. For this reason, I am going to do this for you. What is it that God is going to do for them? Because you have obeyed the commandments of Jonadab your father and kept all his precepts and done according to all that he has commanded you. Therefore, come on. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Brother Fabian, read that line for me. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. What is going to happen?
Jonadab, the son of Rechab.
Jonadab, the son of Rechab.
Shall not want a man to stand before me forever.
Do you realize who took the place of the Israelites? Do you realize who took a position of permanence before God? A people who did not directly belong to God. A people who did not directly belong to God come and gain status before the Israelites. Because of what? Obedience. To this day, brethren and friends, obedience is better than sacrifice. Do not sacrifice who you are and what you stand for because of what could be immediate. Look at what is long term. Look at what can lead to your salvation. That is what you need to be steadfast in. If it is otherwise, that can go aside. If it is otherwise, then they can go aside too. But hold on to what will please Almighty God. Look who give them status. The saying would say, them father would have turned in him grave. Yeah? The father would have turned in him grave for no say. Because of this level of obedience, his generation become a name to be reckoned with in the sight of Almighty God. Church, you can refuse a royal reception. At the end of the day, you can refuse a royal reception. Just check who is serving it. Yeah? Check who is serving it and what it is going to lead to. Is it going to allow you to compromise? Is it going to allow you to lower your standards? Then if these are the way that it is going to lead you, do not compromise. Refuse that royal reception because Almighty God is the one who is going to elevate you at the appropriate time. He is the one who is going to lift you up and exalt you at the appropriate time. Do not compromise any of your values as long as they are pleasing to Almighty God. That's our lesson for today. That's our lesson for today. If you are not a Christian, then you need to compromise everything. Because you need to stop doing all the things that you have been doing. You need to stop walking the way you've been walking. And you need to start now walking with Almighty God. You need to start walking in the direction that God is calling. You're a Christian, but you have been struggling. You have been making decisions that you know that God is not pleased with. Then you need to stop today. Today is a good day for you to realize that you have been doing what is wrong all this time. You've been compromising, and not because nobody knows about it. Almighty God knows. Because He sees. He looks down, He sits high, He looks low, and He knows what you are doing. And just like the choice when David was to be anointed, God is not looking at the outward man. God knows the heart of everyone. So even though Brother Michael may say, well, this is a good person, this is a great person, this is a wonderful person, is God saying the same about you? Because God knows your heart. Brethren and friends, today, receive a royal reception. Because Almighty God is calling for repentance. He is calling for all to turn. He is calling for all to follow Him. He is calling for the unsaved to be saved. And He is calling for the saved to remain faithful before His sight. Do not be like Israel, disobeying constantly, but be like the reprobates. Obey the voice of the Father. Indeed, they obey the voice of God. Brethren and friends, let us stand as we sing a song of invitation. You have heard the word. Believe it. Repent. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ and be baptized in water. If you are not a Christian, if you are a Christian, then just repent and choose today to follow Almighty God. To the fullest, Brother Myrie, as your Bible class said, to the fullest, not part way. Refuse this royal reception of the world and receive this presented to you by Almighty God.